SOP 269. Today we're talking about the loyal audience that you can build via podcasting. And is there an awesome podcast inside of you?
Hello, everybody. My name's Adam Curry. You might know me as the crackpot, the pod father, or just that other guy. Not really a douchebag. This is the morning announcements. Enjoy it in the morning.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much for tuning in. This is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to producing to promoting to monetization, all of the above, right here at the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. You can call in your comments, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. It's 888-563-3228. Well, as you heard there in the opening, I actually had the joy of spending the evening with the podfather, Adam Curry, of the No Agenda Show at noagendashow.com. Of course, if I actually might start doing this in the future, might start having like a This Day in Podcasting History. Because if you don't know that Adam Curry, yes, he was on MTV. He does the No Agenda Show. He actually started with some other people, Pod Show, which is now Mevio. And yes, he was on MTV back in the day. And I was hanging out with him and Miss Mickey. And I'll be telling you about that. We've got a book review, and we're going to revisit the fair use conversation that we had last week right after this. Hey, are you looking to take your audio to the next level? Maybe you've got a headset. Maybe you got something like a Shure SM58. You're looking for a great dynamic microphone that sounds and acts like a condenser. Well, then you got to check out the Electrovoice RE320 microphone. As I look at Amazon.com right now, they are $209. So if you're looking for a nicer mic but can't afford some of the other $300 and $400 microphones, you got to check out the Electrovoice RE320. I love it because I don't have to get right on top of the microphone. I'm actually moving my mouth around now, and it has that consistent quality. It's really a rugged microphone. I love the tone. If you're using it in a studio format where you actually record music, there's actually a switch that can kind of turn it into a kick drum microphone. It's just an awesome piece of equipment. You can find out more at electro-voice.com/RE320, or if you'd like to buy one, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/RE320. Thank you, Electro Voice, for helping produce the School of Podcasting today. All right, last Thursday, I got to hang out with Adam Curry and his girlfriend, Mickey, who's lovely. And if you're not familiar, I talked about Adam is the podfather, but he does the No Agenda Show. You can find that at noagendashow.com. He does that with John C. Dvorak, and they actually came up with this idea of Adam going on tour around the country. They kind of threw it out as a joke, but then it actually became a reality when one of his listeners basically donated the use of her RV/motorhome, and they've really driven over half the U.S. I know they hit Virginia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey. Boston, I think, is in there as well. They've like thousands of miles over the last weeks or so. I think probably like 5 weeks they've been on tour. And of course, throw on top of that, they went through Texas when they had those record heats. You know, it's been, I can only imagine how miserable they've been. And yet, when they showed up in Ohio after driving all day, just the nicest people you'd want to meet. Now, again, you've heard me talk about the No Agenda Show before. They have a program where they dub listeners knights who donate $1,000 or more. And some people have actually been knighted multiple times. And as Adam and as he's traveling around, he's getting a firsthand knowledge of his audience. He's actually getting show content from his audience. Like, did you know that there's a vaccination for shyness? It's amazing. And what else is he getting at these meetups? You guessed it, more donations. There were probably only 20 people at the Akron, Ohio donation, which is where I was born and raised, and actually got to hang out with him. But everybody donated. Why? Because this guy needs gas money for this RV thing going around. So it's really amazing, you know. In fact, one person even became a knight that evening. So the other thing, people drove from Michigan, which is about 3 hours away, 3 hours to hang out with Adam Curry for a few hours. People drove from Cleveland. They drove from south of Ohio. You know, all this. And to this, I want to ask the question, does podcasting build a loyal audience? Let's see. Adam's audience has donated a RV. They've done all sorts of things to make this tour happen so he can come out and actually meet his audience. So does podcasting build a loyal audience? You tell me. All right. One of the things we do out at the School of Podcasting is we have actually a resource section. And one of the resources is a list of books. And Michael Nistler of BridgeHands.com, it's actually, you know, the card game Bridge, put in a quick review, and I thought I'd share that with this. It's actually a book that's been out for a while. It's called Tricks of the Podcasting Masters. He says, I'm up to about 6 podcast books now, and Tricks of the Podcasting Masters is one of the best books if you're looking for a how-to recipe from soups to nuts that's up to date. For instance, it has a nice write-up and diagram of a Skype call with wiring and descriptions. But it's not simply theory. The authors offer practical advice on the do's and don'ts, lucid example of the big boys, and the final chapters discuss marketing, revenue generation, and biz planning. It's a nice finish. Many will still want Podcasting for Dummies, but this is a worthwhile addition. So that, again, is from Michael Nistler talking about the book Tricks of the Podcasting Masters. I'll have a link to that out in our show notes. You can just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/269. I'll also have a link there where you can go back. I actually interviewed the author, Rob Walch, who now works with Wizard Media, and when I interviewed him about that book. So, Michael, thank you for the quick review out at the site. Next up, we have an email, or I'm sorry, a voicemail, courtesy of podcastvoicemail.com. This is from Charles from BearCrawlingNation.com.
Hey, Dave, this is Charles from the BearCrawlingNation.com. We talked on one of your meetups not that long ago online where you give advice about doing podcasting. I'm listening to the School of Podcasting on legality, and I wanted to throw in two little points that I had that went with this. You're talking about fair use. You're talking about intros and outros and that kind of thing. I use music. I do a live show, and I use music to do a transition at the break. I do about 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds of a fade in, just kind of like you hear on the radio, just a fade up. You know, you hear the music's recognizable. You usually get the chorus, fade down where you still hear it, but I'm talking over it. And then I fade it all the way out. And you're talking about 45 seconds of recognizable music with voiceover half the time in an hour and a half of broadcast, which it seems to me to be under the fair use policy. I have a question kind of based on what you're talking about, and I have another little statement quick. I'm trying to be fast. I know your school podcasting is quick, and you might not want to use this or edit it, and you can do whatever you'd like with it. Michael Butler, I think it's Butler, who does he does something else, but the guy who does Coverville, wouldn't you agree that he's probably the big dog in music podcasting? Over 5,000 shows on Coverville, well over 5,000 shows on Coverville. What's happened with him? I mean, if anybody's going to get hit for copyrighted music, I think it'd be him. I mean, he puts in full versions of songs. Not all of them are copyrighted. Some of them are just straight free covers, but maybe that falls under parody. I don't know, but I'd love to hear the answer on that. The other little quick experience I had was I worked with a station in the UK, admittedly, but it's numberoneradio.com, and they did live music, and he paid all the rights for music. You had to list the music you played in your show. For me being a talk show, I was only doing it 30 or 45 seconds at the time, and I told him, look, I use these songs, but it's only 30 seconds of it in an hour and a half. And what he told me was, don't even worry about listing it. We don't have to pay that. It's when you do the full song uninterrupted that people can, you know, use. And it was only streaming. They did not do podcasting. I don't want to get anybody twisted on that. That website was only doing streaming, but he was paying the rights for it. And while I'm not a lawyer and this wasn't proven legally, he told me that he was not going to have to pay the rights on that, but only using a 30-second transition piece, it wasn't enough to even trigger. So I just want to throw that in as an idea for people who are really, really worrying about it. I know you're dealing with full songs, uninterrupted, no talk over. I just thought I'd throw that out for some people. Now, as far as intros and outros, I find that interesting. I mean, you're still talking about 30 seconds, 45 seconds, hopefully with talk over, if you're really taking away from the market. But that's a whole other discussion. I'd love to do a show with you on this one night. Maybe you can come on my show and we can talk about legalities and some of the ins and outs. So then, thanks, man. I appreciate the school podcast.
Yeah, Charles, you're right. Actually, there are a couple people. I'm with you. I can't remember the guy that uses Taking Care of Business. I thought it was David Foster, but it's not. And I know I've listened to that podcast. And that guy actually did that on radio, where the radio folks would pick up the tab on paying the royalties and such. And now he's on a podcast. So he had to kind of, again, go through this awkward kind of scenario where the record companies don't know what to do. The other person, his name is Brian Ibbett. And he produces the Coverville podcast. And you can find that at coverville.com. He actually explains some of the process that he's gone through and more of that lovely legal stuff. We know how exciting that is on the Podcast Solutions podcast. Now, this was a podcast to kind of accompany me. I cannot talk today. The podcast that went along, how about that? With the Podcast Solutions book with Michael Gohagan and Dan Klass. And I'll have a link to that out in the show notes as well. Just again, go to schoolpodcasting.com/269. But yeah, it's not to say that you can't do this. It's just record companies don't know what to do with a podcast because there are different rights. I mean, there's the songwriter, there's the actual performer gets that. And then who owns the master rights to that? And because it's a download, things just get really icky. And Brian gets into that. And people always, when I talk about how podcasts take a long time, I actually listened to a big chunk of that interview to see if I was going to use that here. And it's actually fairly lengthy. And I went, you know what? I can't use it in this podcast. It's too long. So I'll put a link to that out in the show notes. But that's an example of how you can really chew up a bunch of time creating a podcast because you have to determine what the content is. And I listened to it. I'm like, this is good content. That's why I'm linking to it. But it was too long to actually include in that. But yeah, it can be done. It's just you're going to be kind of blazing a trail because most people, you know, when you try to get all those mechanical rights and all the different rights that are out there, and you kind of have to tie up all the loose ends with the RIAA and Sound Scan, I think is the one, or something like that, it gets a little tricky. And Brian goes into that. And Brian would be a good guy. That's the other thing. He's a super nice guy. He's a 2004 guy. Been around forever. And if you had any questions, he's a great guy that would be more than willing to help you out. And I'm sure if you probably Googled Brian Ibbett, it's IBBOTT. If you actually Googled Brian Ibbett interviews, there's probably more out there as well. But Charles, thanks for the question and thanks for the tips. And that, again, if you want to hear that podcast about the legal stuff, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/268. All right, last up, I want to thank Daniel Johnson Jr. You can find him at Daniel Johnson Jr. And he put this video from Derek Sivers, on who's kind of known for starting CD Baby, on his Facebook page. And I watched it, and I was like, oh, wow, this is so cool. So actually, let's just listen to this. This is actually Derek. This is from a YouTube clip, so the audio may not be great, but here is Derek talking about being obvious.
Any creator of anything knows this feeling. You experience someone else's innovative work. It's beautiful, brilliant, breathtaking. You're stunned. Their ideas are unexpected and surprising, but perfect. You think, I never would have thought about that. How do they even come up with that? It's genius. Afterwards, you think, my ideas are so obvious, I'll never be as inventive as that. I get this feeling often. Amazing books, music, movies, or even amazing conversations. I'm in awe at how the creator thinks like that. I'm humbled. But I continue to do my work. I tell my little tales. I share my point of view. Nothing spectacular, just my ordinary thoughts. So one day someone emailed me and said, I never would have thought about that. How did you even come up with that? It's genius. Of course, I disagreed and I explained why it was nothing special. But afterwards, I realized something surprisingly profound. Everybody's ideas seem obvious to them. I'll bet even John Coltrane or Richard Feynman felt that everything they were playing or saying was pretty obvious. So maybe what's obvious to me is amazing to someone else. Hit songwriters in interviews often admit that their most successful hit song was one they just thought was stupid and not even worth recording. We're clearly a bad judge of our own creations. We should just put it out and let the world decide. Are you holding back something that seems too obvious to share?
Now, for me, people hear other people's podcasts and they might think, oh, I could never do that. When in reality, they could. In fact, they might be able to do it better. They are just as great as anyone else. That's one of the things that got me through college. The last time I went to college, I was much older than the average student there. And I remember thinking, oh boy, I'm just, you know, I'm old and I'm not going to be able to do this. But I thought, you know what? There's nothing different in my brain than somebody else's. And I have the determination and the focus to get through. And I did. So the great thing about podcasting is you may think, oh, my podcasting would be boring. No, you'd be amazed at how people think your ideas are much greater than you do. Like, I was amazed. I was interviewed the last couple weeks, and I've had more than one person say, well, you've got that radio voice. And I'm like, I have a radio voice? Really? Because to me, it's just like, well, this is just how I talk. I mean, to me, a radio voice is this guy. Hey, how's it going? All right, everybody. To me, when I just talk like this. And they're like, no, man, you've got great pipes. And I'm like, really? I don't see it. It's just, I mean, I've kind of always sounded this way. And people, so you may be thinking, I don't see it. No, like Derek says, throw it out there and see what the world has to say about it. You may have a brilliant podcast living inside you, and yet you're not letting it out. You are in control of your podcast. You can be the editor, the producer. In future shows, you're going to hear from Mr. Media. I actually did that interview this week. You're going to hear from Ray Ortega, but Mr. Media was talking about the fact that what determines whether it comes on his show or not is if it interests him. If it interests him, it makes it to the audience. I cannot talk today. Have you noticed that? Anyway. But you are the editor, you're the producer, and if the one thing, I'm going to do a little plug here, if there's one thing that's stopping you from starting a podcast is the technical part of putting up a website, please contact me. I actually have a system, I'm not going to go into the details here, but if you don't have a website especially, and that's what's stopping you, in some cases you can actually have your website created and made podcast ready for free. I've done this for a couple people and it's worked out pretty nice. You basically order the hosting through a link that I provide you and then I build it for you. It's a great deal. So if that's one of the hurdles, definitely come contact me. And how do you contact me? You can call in your comments, 888-563-3228, just like Charles did. Thank you, Charles. You can email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, or you can leave a comment out in our show notes. And today, again, you can go to schoolofpodcasting.com/269. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Again, today we learned that podcasting builds loyal audiences that we saw as Adam is traveling around the country. We learned that there are some great books out there on podcasting. We learned a little bit more about how you can find more information on the fair use and if you want to actually use licensed music in your podcast. And we learned that the idea that you have in your head for a podcast that you're not letting out could be absolutely awesome. And you need to start a podcast today. So thanks for listening. We will see you again next week with another episode of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements. I'm your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. And until next week, class is dismissed.